Isn't this a beautiful picture? This artwork was given to Mrs. Davidson by the first and second graders at Tri-City Adventist School. And there's a few of them. Let's try another one. Something exciting is happening on Sunday. I'm not sure exactly what. And I don't know if, but it looks like that might be a burning octopus. I don't know. I'm sure you have a better idea than I do. And this particular artist had such a grand vision that they required 4 pieces of paper taped together. And they, I mean, this stretches from God down to the teacher and the artist, apparently, as well as some additional elements for artistic expression. You know, when teachers and parents receive these beautiful pieces of art from their kids, they say things like, "Wow, that's amazing. Well done. Good job. This is beautiful." And is it?
Yeah.
Absolutely, it is. Is it beautiful because as a piece of art on its own without any context, it's beautiful? Or is it beautiful because the artist is beautiful to us? Well said. One might look at this art piece, which was not connected to our school at all, so we can have a little bit of a critique on this one, and we could say, "That's great, good job." And then you might add, if they maybe the same kid brought you this piece of art, you'd say, "Wow, that's even better. You're growing. You're getting better at this art thing." And then if they brought you this piece of art, you'd be like, "Wow, well, that's really good." But then one day they bring you this one and you say, "Amazing, amazing," right? That word amazing, it's a superlative. It's meant for that over the top, this is different than anything else before it kind of a statement. It describes an emotion that we have, a feeling, a perspective that we have. But what does it mean? So this is the dictionary definition. Amazing, to cause great surprise or wonder. Astonishing. Then there's a few other words that you might connect to amazing, like awe or marvel, or the word wonder is interesting too. Notice this one, awe. It's defined as a feeling of reverential respect mixed with fear or wonder. And then to marvel means to be filled with wonder or astonishment. These are interesting words. And have you noticed so far, all of the definitions, amazing, awe, marvel, include the word wonder? What does that word mean? Wonder, a feeling of surprise mingled with admiration caused by something beautiful, unexpected, unfamiliar, or unexplained. In the purest sense, these words are reserved for the most special experiences in our lives. The most incredible things. And yet our world, there's so few things that we wonder at, especially the more wise you get and in age and in hair, right? The less there is to wonder about because you've experienced that before. It's not new. Or you know how it works. Science and the internet, they've given us answers to so many of our questions. And it's a good thing we have answers to questions because we had some interesting thoughts back in the day before we started like exploring and trying to figure out what truth is. But science and answers to questions, they're not the solution to all the problems in the world, right? And in some ways, our curiosity is satisfied too easily. It's almost like we have a little bit of a hardness to our heart. Somebody presents us with something that's fascinating, that's amazing, that's astounding, that's wonderful, and we're like, just give me a minute. I'll figure out an answer to that one. And we don't sit in that wonder anymore. We're just looking for an answer, an explanation about how something works. For many of us, the story of Jesus' birth is a story that's been repeated so much that we no longer truly have wonder for this experience. Instead, we have a theological answer, an understanding. I was, on Thursdays, I go to the jail, and I was talking with them, and we talked about the fact that Mary was pregnant but hadn't been with a man. And I just wanted them to just be amazed at that for a moment. And one of the guys there, he's like, now let me explain how this might work. Well, sometimes we just need to sit in awe. This year, let's look at that story again. And if you don't mind, let me draw out a little bit of wonder in your heart. Let it melt a bit as we think of this story. It was a time when God hadn't talked to his people in 400 years. Miracles didn't seem to happen anymore, and in that way, that time was a lot like this time. The place wasn't their choice. They had to go because the government required them to go for a census. It was very ordinary, secular, uninteresting, just going about the normal life. Nothing miraculous, except Joseph was bringing with him to Bethlehem his betrothed, Mary, who was pregnant. And if you know anything about the time, betrothal was this period of time the parents had agreed, and the parties had agreed, I'm guessing, to be married. And so a bride price was paid, and they were contractually united already. But they weren't going to live together, they weren't going to act like married couples until the wedding, which could have been several months later. And it was during their betrothal time that an angel came to Joseph and told Joseph that Mary was with child, but that she hadn't been unfaithful to him, that she was with child by the Holy Spirit. This is the first piece of the story that we have to stop and say, that's not ordinary. That's amazing. And we won't spend any time trying to figure out how it worked. Let's just sit in the idea that God became an embryo, that Mary was pregnant, having not been with a man, that this supernatural being of light and glory had appeared to them and introduced them to the Messiah that was in her belly. It's literally God, the Christ, in the form of a baby inside Mary. Pause with me for a moment. Let your mind be filled with wonder at this thought. It's awe-inspiring. God became a baby, a zygote, an embryo. If that's not beyond science and logic, something that we really don't need to go and try to get an explanation for, I don't know what is. There's no way to quantify or qualify or compare it to anything that's ever happened before or since in this world. It's simply marvelous. As miraculous and amazing as this story begins, it's really a story of ordinary people going through ordinary, difficult circumstances. Joseph brought Mary to Bethlehem, and Luke records that Mary gave birth to Jesus, not in a hospital, but in a barn. And I don't care what you think about the beautiful songs about this story. I guarantee you nobody here is going to be willing to give birth in an active barn. Like, no, you're going to, maybe you'd give birth at home with a midwife nearby and her medical tools and, you know, a candle lit or whatever and some soft music playing, but maybe on the way to a hospital in your car, but not in a barn, right? This is not comfortable circumstances. And they lay Jesus in a manger, a feeding trough for the cattle with some fresh straw in it. I'm sure that Joseph had all the blankets that they had brought with him and a few that they got from some kindly neighbors nearby that donated them for the cause. Probably water was drawn from the local well. This is an ordinary experience. It's an experience that many, many, many of you have already had. Maybe not in that context, but you've had the experience of giving birth. Mary might have given birth to the Son of God, but to her it was that painful and beautiful experience of birth. And even though we know the details, like we can take pictures nowadays of every stage of that baby's growth, we can see 3D sonograms of this. Like, it's amazing what we can see nowadays, and we know so much about it, and yet we know so little about it. It is simply amazing that a baby can grow inside a mother and then be born as a full human being. Take a moment and pause. be in awe. That night after Jesus was born, the angels who'd been hovering around Mary and Joseph, imperceptible until then, just couldn't hold it in any longer. They needed people to join them in exulting and being excited about Jesus' birth. God had come to earth. And so there's this moment, shepherds are watching their sheep in the field near Bethlehem, and suddenly, without warning, the night was filled with the light of an angel covered in the glory of God. And, well, actually, we're not ready for that. Let's go back just in the story. Let's rewind a little bit. It's earlier in that day, and you're a shepherd. Just put yourself in that moment. Imagine yourself in that field with the sheep. And you're just, you know, chatting away as the sheep are doing their thing. And maybe you're talking about the promise of the Messiah. Maybe one of your friends mentioned that he'd remembered this prophecy that seemed like it was coming to an end. Remember Daniel had something to say about the time that the Messiah would be born? And we're kind of getting close to that, maybe he was saying. That night, you go to bed and you pray that the Christ would come, that the promised one would deliver you. And maybe you had a conversation around the fireplace as things were winding down about what the Messiah might do and how he might act. And then you hear this voice and see this figure of light. And it's warm and it's full and it's rich and deep. And he says, "Don't be afraid, because you're really afraid." I mean, if you've seen a light brighter than the sun and a figure in that light, that would be weird, right? That would be something to wonder at. And he says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." The blazing figure was then joined by a bunch of angels. We don't know how many. The Bible just says a host. How many is a host? I don't know, but a bunch. And they start to sing. Oh. I don't know how to imagine that song, but I can imagine it just echoing and re-echoing throughout the valley as they sang this song. And maybe do you know when it just gets quiet all of a sudden and it's almost like the thing you just heard just kind of stays in your mind? I kind of feel like that's that moment. They went away, but their song kind of lingered. Pause for a moment. Be filled with wonder. Wonder that the angels came. Wonder that they sang. Can you imagine that song? I really like the music at our church. I feel like the angels might have been singing with us this morning. And yet to have a choir of actual angels singing, what would that have been like? I mean, these are beings that have vocal cords untainted by sin. They have incredible pitch and the capacity for harmonization that we couldn't imagine. And they had 1,000 years to practice this song, more. How amazing would that song have been? I want to get you experiencing that song. And there's no way I can. I can't bring the angels here and ask them to sing. Actually, I hadn't thought of asking that one, but I'm assuming that I couldn't. So I'm going to show you a short video. And if you're listening from home, turn up the volume or put on some earphones. And I've asked for the sound to fill this space. That's Jacob Collier. If you know him, if you've seen him before, he likes to get audiences sing impromptu. But what if that wasn't 1,000 or I don't know how many, probably 5,000 people or more in that audience? What if that was 5,000 angels? And it wasn't just impromptu. They knew their parts already. Oh, wasn't that beautiful? That was amazing. I wish that I could convey to our deaf members how amazing it is to be thrilled by music, to have such harmony. Jacob Collier has an amazing talent, but it's nothing compared to what those angels would have been like. And there's no way outside of heaven that we could experience it, but I'd like to take you to a song that the angels maybe could have sung. At least it's a little about those angels singing. The piano guys several years ago put it together the largest human nativity, and they sang a song called Angels from the Realms of Glory. And if you need to, just close your eyes, because this isn't about explanations. It's about wonder. It's about being amazed. Let's take a moment and let's listen to this song.
Story.
Wouldn't it have been so loud with all those angels singing on that hillside? It would have made things rumble, I think, which was why I made it loud, John. You're welcome. To experience that moment with those shepherds, you know what they had to do? It was without a doubt the only option that they had is to leave their sheep and go and find the baby. Their wonder moved them. Had the people of Bethlehem seen the light of those angels? Had they heard the sound of that song rolling across the hills and echoing through the valleys? We don't really know, but as soon as the shepherds had seen the baby in the manger, they couldn't keep it inside. In Luke chapter 2, verse 17, the Bible records, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said about this child. And maybe I kind of get the idea that the people in Bethlehem recognized something had happened, because the Bible says that all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. And then Mary treasured all these things in her heart and thought about them often. This seems to be a trend with wonder and amazement. We just have to share it. Imagine waking up and you open the curtains and there's the first snow of the season. What do you do? You say, "Hey, everybody, get up. It snowed," right? And if you're a kid, you drag your parents out to sled, right? Kids, right? Uh-huh, yeah. It's exciting when something wonderful happens and you got to get people involved. You got to tell them about it. Kids, they want to share their latest art piece or their latest Lego creation or the latest accomplishment that they had in music or whatever it is, especially when it's the first time. You just have to share it. You need somebody to enjoy it with you. I think that's one of the reasons our hearts grow apathetic. The older we get, the more times we experience something, the less wonder and amazement we have in it, which means that we need to cultivate wonder. It's not just something that we experience and we just let it happen to us. No, we have to stop and cultivate it. You and I don't easily have that sense of wonder. And as a result, I think we don't tend to treasure those things in our hearts. A few years ago, sorry, Addie, I'm going to tell a story on you. A few years ago, Addie and I were walking along the road, and Addie was picking up rocks, and I knew where those rocks were going to go, all over the house. So as she's picking up rocks, she's just amazed at every little thing, the white rock and the shiny rock and the smooth rock, and she just wanted to show me all her new discoveries, and everything seemed to be amazing to her. And me, I know where that came from. That came from a rock quarry, right? It was meant to make a road. There's nothing special about those rocks. There's no value there. And she showed me her pretty white rock, and I'd be like, "Oh, that's so cute, Adeline, or that's beautiful," or whatever. And then when she's not looking, throw it back on the road where it belongs, right? That's not coming to my house. But turn that around. Go the opposite direction. What if I had picked up some interesting rock and I had shared it with Adeline? What would she do? I'll tell you what she did. She'd grab it and hold it close to her and she'd look at it and be excited, and then she'd stuff it in her pocket so that she'd never let it go. She'd always have it. And that's kind of what wonder is supposed to do. It's supposed to make us draw things close to us and stuff it in our pockets so that we never let it go. It becomes precious to us. That's what we need, don't you think? Yeah. We need to be overwhelmed with wonder so that we just can't help but share it with everybody around us. Look at this amazing thing that's happened. What miracles have you stopped being amazed by? They're so regular in your life that you don't even think about them being miracles anymore. Are you still amazed by falling snow? Do you still marvel at the miracle of friendship and human love? Are you filled with awe at the thought of a God who loves you? Have you wept recently as you were overcome by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross? Have you pondered the great mystery of Christianity, Christ in you, the hope of glory? do you treasure the thought of the Holy Spirit making his home in you? Have you stopped to look at your life, to really consider where you've been and how the Holy Spirit has been leading you and growing you and shaping you into his image? Have you been amazed? There's so much about God and his creation and salvation that we should marvel at. The shepherds, they marveled at the angel's song, and they had to go tell everybody in town about it. The townspeople wondered at the news that God was again talking to his people and that their Savior had come. And Mary pondered it and held it close to her heart. Be overcome by awe. And then with your heart overflowing, share the amazing story with somebody. Somebody who doesn't know the story yet, or somebody who's forgotten how amazing it is. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. And may you be filled with wonder.